Bibles, go with me, if you will, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, as our young people are dismissed. Thank you again for being here. I know I've said it over and over, but this is such a special day. We had a lot of work on Friday, put all the flags out in around our parking lot for the 9/11 memorial, and then of course everything that is done here now. The carnival in back, that's not tied to 9/11, but we did choose. We kind of had to narrow in on a date, and this was the date that we've chosen. So help us, if those of our church family, help us with that. We're going to need people manning all of the stations back there. So in your Bibles, you're there, 1 Chronicles 16. I'm going to read two verses. Brother Johnson, Brother Dave, can I have you come up here? I'm going to have you have a word of prayer when I am finished reading, if you would. And then when he is finished praying, I'll have you be seated. But if you'll come up here right now. 1 Chronicles 16, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." Verse number 12 then says, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth." Those first few words, "remember His marvelous works." 9/11. You've seen the banners. You've seen the flags. You've seen the inscriptions, "We will never forget. We remember," as it was stated by our president at the time, a second day that will live in infamy. We'll speak a little bit about it, but I want us to see what we should remember as far as the Word of God is concerned. We remember about our country. We remember 15 years ago. But let's also remember some things about the Lord. Brother, if you would lead in a word of prayer, when he says amen, I'll have you be seated.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. I thank you, dear God, for the freedom, Lord, to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you, dear God, for a pastor who stands on the Word of God and preaches your Word. I pray, dear God, that you be with us now. I pray, dear God, the Holy Spirit take control of this service. And I pray, dear God, in every aspect, Lord, to be honoring and praising to you and honoring to the men and women who have given all, Lord, for our country, for in their service, Lord, even today. I pray you be with us now and direct us in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Thank Lord, you. Let us weep again. Oh, that we would think of our country with a heart that would cause us to weep. That we would look at a country that would cause us to weep for what we see. We think about the day, September 11th. It's difficult, to be honest, really to know what to say. What can be said? Another day that will live in infamy. December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. A few in the congregation today would remember that day. But of course, probably, nearly all of us, not quite, they say that this year's freshman high school class, we have two represented here, this year's freshman high school class is the first high school class that will truly look at 9/11 as history. What year were you born? 2001? Kim's? 2001. Both of you, 2001. Both of them born right there. We were supposed to sing happy birthday. Miss Elizabeth's birthday is today. We were supposed to sing happy birthday to her. She's gone. Yes, how convenient. She's in the nursery. No, I won't do it. We'll sing maybe tonight. But they're looking now at their studying it as history. Were you born before either of you two? Before 9/11? August? But you were born after. All right. History to him. Most of us remember where we were. The worst attack on American soil. Oh, I want us to remember. But what is it that you'll remember that The title of the message here is, What Will You Remember? What are you going to remember? There are many memorials that are given to us in the Bible for the express purpose to cause us never to forget. We're given the rainbow in Genesis. The perfect purpose is that we would not forget what God did to this planet, to this earth, and that He would never again destroy this earth by water. His promise to us. But it's a memory that we have. The Jews still to this day celebrate the Passover as a memorial for what God did for them in Exodus. We, as born-again believers, we observe the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. This do in remembrance of me. We do it on purpose to remember the broken body of our Lord as we partake of the unleavened bread, the broken body and the spilled blood as we then drink the juice that will represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It is done as a memorial. The baptism itself. Baptism doesn't have any part of my salvation. Baptism will never have any part of your salvation. But baptism is done in memory, signifying what has happened in my heart. That's the purpose of baptism. But let us choose to remember. Let's choose to remember on purpose some things about the Bible. 9/11, every year it comes around, we're reminded of it, the media talks about it, and I'm glad for it, I'm grateful. I don't want us to forget about it. I want it to be something that we remember. When we celebrate the many years as we do with Pearl Harbor, and then we will celebrate 9/11 for all of the years, I want it to be something that we do special. And it will be a time where we remember the attack that was given that second time on our soil. But I believe that there are some things about Scripture we should remember as well. In Hebrews 13 and verse 3 it says, Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity. We're to remember them. On 9/11 in total, the last count, and understand it's difficult to get real accurate figures for 9/11 because it's fluid. Because of the difficulty in identifying those who perished that day. As of September 8, 2016, they attribute 2,977 lost their lives that day. In World Trade Center 1, the North Tower, there were 1,402 that perished. In the South Tower, there were 614 that lost their lives. On America Airlines Flight 11, which flew into the North Tower, there were 87. And of course, there were also five hijackers. On United Flight 175 that flew into the South Tower, there were 65 that were on board, as well as five hijackers. As of the number given September 8, 2016, on America Airlines Flight 77, which crashed into the Pentagon, plus five hijackers, there were 184 that lost their lives. United Airlines Flight 93 that was crashed outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania, there were 40 on board and four hijackers that also were on board. In New York City, there were 343 firefighters and paramedics that died as they rushed in, as we've come to find out, while everyone else was rushing out. There were 23 New York police officers that lost their lives that day. There were 37 Port Authority police officers, 8 private EMT workers, countless others that were on the ground that are not attributed to. There are 1,609 people who lost a spouse, a husband or a wife. There are 3,051 children who lost a parent. 1,717 families were left with no remains of their loved ones. Victims ranged in ages from 2 years old to 85 years old. They say approximately between 75 and 80% of those who died that day were men. As of August 2016, only 60% of all totaled World Trade Center victims, only 60% of the remains have been positively identified. Since that day, and this is an old statistic, I could not find an accurate in the time frame that I had, there have been 6,207 total number of servicemen and women killed in the war against terror. And as I say, I know that has gone up since I was able to find that statistic. The timeline of events, it began at 8:46, as Flight 11 crashes into the North Tower carrying 76 passengers, 11 crew members, and 5 hijackers bound for Los Angeles. At 9:03, Flight 175 crashes into the South Tower carrying 56 passengers, 9 crew, and 5 hijackers. At 9:37, Flight 77 crashes into the Pentagon. It kills 125 people in the Pentagon. And there were 58 passengers, 6 crew, and 5 hijackers. And then at 10:03, Flight 93, carrying 33 passengers, 7 crew, and 4 hijackers, bound for San Francisco, crashes just outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. At 9:59, 56 minutes after the impact, the South Tower collapsed. 56 minutes. At 10:28, 1 hour, 42 minutes after impact, the North Tower collapses. There are so many things that we could read, and to be honest, I don't have time to go through all of the statistics and the time frame. Probably everyone remembers exactly where you were that day. For those who are young, you remember when you heard about it, perhaps. But you remember where you were. Well, I could tell you exactly where I was, exactly what I was doing, my family, where they were, where I sat as I watched the first tower collapse. I sat on the edge of a bed in a hotel room with my family, and the world will never be the same. I remember saying over, I know you said the same. The world will never be the same. And then as we watched as the second tower fall, what on earth could possibly bring us out of this? Well, this morning I know we have a Bible, and I know we have a God that can bring us out of absolutely anything. There are some things I would like to ask you here this morning. The Bible is the greatest history book in all of the world. You understand that history just spells the two words, His story. It's His story. It's not mine. It's His story to tell. And we have a Bible that tells us of His story. We ask ourselves, what has history taught us? If we don't learn from history, we're bound to repeat it. What has history taught us, we ask ourselves. And I ask the question, why is it that we only look at yesterday to teach us anything? What is today going to teach us? What are you going to learn from today? And I don't mean 9/11. I mean the present day. What are you going to learn? Oh, we learn things from history because with history, we have 20/20 vision. But what are you going to learn from today? We should always look for a spiritual lesson from every tragedy. And so we ask ourselves, what will I learn from the next tragedy that comes my way? It may not be as impactful as 9/11. It may be only a tragedy in your life and it will affect no one else. Are you going to learn something from it? What will you remember about today? What will you remember about tomorrow? Now I know we can't have a memory of every single day.
But we should be looking every day for something that we can learn. We should be looking for something that God will teach us. Oh, as we read our Bible, and I encourage our church family to read our Bible daily, as we look for something that God can speak to us about. He's wanting to speak to our hearts, and He's going to do it through His Word. Oh, I'm grateful that I get to stand behind a pulpit and I get to preach a message. But understand, the message is not mine, the message is God's. I simply get to be the voice box for it. Our God is still in control. On the morning of September 11, 2001, there was no emergency meeting between the three members of the Godhead. God did not summon His Son and the Holy Spirit and say, "What has befallen the United States of America?" God knew what was going to happen. Now, I'm not here to tell you what it was or what it wasn't in God's eyes. I'm not here to expound upon you another conspiracy theory or try to debunk it. You can think what you want. But when it comes to God, you see, you get to think what you want. But God is always right. You and I may argue about what happened on 9/11. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, just do a Google on it, the internet. We may argue about what happened or what didn't happen, and we'll never know. But God is always right. You might be right about your argument. I might be right about mine. But when we argue with God, we're always wrong. God is always right. You see, it didn't catch God by surprise that day. And we take great comfort that God already told us in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. We go back to those words, God is our refuge and strength. Therefore we will not fear. I have nothing to fear. Oh, let's think about 9/11 in a spiritual context. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember where you were? In Exodus 13, let me read this to you. It says in verse number 3, Moses said unto the people, remember this day. He began talking with them about the Passover. And he said, we need to remember this day. We come to 9/11. We've got the flag as a representation of our country. We give it its honor that it deserves as being the representation of our country. But we think in a spiritual light about what God did for the nation of Israel. And God says, I need you to remember this day. And so Moses then says, I want our nation to remember the day. You could imagine, as Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, they're in Egypt. They had been invited down into Egypt by Joseph and by the Pharaoh at the time. And now they're living, the Jews had lived in Egypt for all of those years, and now they were being held captive and slaves by the Egyptians. And the Exodus, the book of Exodus, teaches us how they were taken out of the bondage in Egypt and back to the promised land. And you think about that night. The Passover night, when the Jews were instructed to kill the perfect lamb and to take its blood and put it upon the doorpost and to stay inside. And if the death angel sees the blood, he will pass over you. And it's called the Passover for that reason. And you think about 15 years after that. And now they're wandering in the wilderness because they wandered for 40 years after they left Egypt. They're only 15 years in their 40-year journey. And you can imagine they're thinking back to that night. I bet they remembered where they were when they heard the screams of those who did not have the blood applied upon the doorpost. They heard the screams as the firstborn of every family was taken. I bet they remember where they were. Do you remember where you were? I'm sure you do. We could spend the rest of the day going around and recounting where I was and who I was with and what we thought. No one who was alive and has a clear recollection of the day will ever forget it. You remember exactly. I remember exactly My family and I were at a pastor's conference in Santa Clara, California, in a hotel. I woke up early. I was going to go get some breakfast. And I turned the radio on just to hear a little bit of news, what was going on. And I hear them talking to someone about a plane that had hit the World Trade Center and it had exploded. And I'm thinking, oh, this is crazy. And of course, at that time, it was just after 6 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, well, of course, it's dark. They didn't see the World Trade Center. And then I realized, hold on. It's 9 o'clock on the East Coast. Well, of course they heard. They saw the building. And as I am getting breakfast, I hear as they're talking to one man on the street about what he saw, he begins screaming because the second plane hit the tower. I rushed back after we got something neat, rushed back to the hotel, went back to the room. I said, "Hun, turn the TV on. We've got to see this." And we sat and we watched in amazement. You remember the day. It's left an indelible mark across the fabric of our nation. It will never be removed. It will always be remembered. A wound that time will heal, but the scar will remain forever. But let me ask you this. Do you remember the day that you were saved? You'll look at me and you'll say, oh, I remember 9/11. I remember the day where I was, who I was with, what I said. But can I ask you about your salvation? You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. I've spoken to a lot of people over the last 30 years. I've asked well over 10,000 people point blank, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You see, God did not give us a Bible so that we could say, well, I'm not real sure. I'm hoping that I'm going to go to heaven. God didn't give us the Bible so that we could play a guessing game. God said, I want you to know for certain. The first thing we realize is none of us are worthy of going to heaven. Not a single one of us. Every single person in this room deserves the fire of hell. Because our sin is wicked before a holy God, and there is nothing that I could do that God would ever say, you finally did enough. In fact, if I could do enough good works, please listen to me, dear friend. If you could do enough things to appease a holy God in heaven, that He would look at you one day when you step out of this life and into the next, if you could have done enough good works and piled up enough in the bank of good works that God looks at you and says, well done thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If He makes that decision based on your good works, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross, shed His perfect blood, and then take your place in hell, only then to rise from the dead, walk out of hell, and walk out of the tomb so that you could have eternal life? If God is going to make the decision based on how well you have lived your life or how well I have lived mine, then Jesus would never have had to die. All He would have had to have done is say, you have watched my life. I have lived perfectly before you. If you would please just try your hardest, then I'll see you in heaven. But He never said those words. Because He had to be crucified on the cross. Because He was perfect. And imperfection can never pay for imperfection. Only perfection can pay for imperfection. Jesus Christ was perfect. He died on the cross so that you could realize one day, and it might be today, you could realize I would have to stand before a holy God guilty of all of my sin. And He will have no alternative but to cast me into eternal darkness that is called hell, because that's what God's Word says. That's not what I say. I would have written a different version. I would have said, you better be in church. You better give your money. You better give your money. You better... Oh, I'd have made the rules different. It would have been, you better live righteous or you're going to burn. That's not what God said. He said, you can't be righteous enough. So I will give my Son to die for you. Now will you, by faith, bow your head? God's asking, will you by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, we all remember where we were when 9/11 happened. None of you would say, oh, 9/11. Well, I was at home. And I was at home right here in Charleston. And then I was in San Antonio, Texas when it happened. And then I was up in Washington, D.C. when it happened. And then I went up to Canada when it happened. Oh, and I was over in Africa when it happened. I would look at you and say, where were you when it happened? You see, when you receive Christ as your Savior, it's not, well, I did it then, and then I did it then, and then I did it then, and then I did it then. I do it every day. No, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, and it happens one time, and it's immediate. Where were you? Oh, just as clearly as I could tell you where I was on 9/11, if the building were still standing the day I got saved, had it not been demolished by a tornado, I could take you back down to that little Sunday school classroom as you walk into that kind of that area where we had some game rooms and there were Sunday school classes that lined. There was one over here that hardly anyone ever went into. There was one over here in the corner, and then there was this one right there, and that's the one that I went into, the second one from the left. And I walked in, and those little tables were about 18 inches high, and those little chairs were about 13 inches high, and I sat down there, and then my Sunday school teacher told me how I could bow my head and ask Jesus into my heart as a 5-year-old boy. Oh, I could remember it very well. Do you remember the day that you were saved? Because it didn't happen when you were an infant. It didn't happen just because you lived a good life. It's a decision that you make. Am I going to accept the payment that Jesus Christ has made for my soul? The payment has already been made.
That's right.
Have you ever received that payment? Have you ever received salvation? The Bible's clear to teach us that we're all sinners, and I'm just as guilty as anyone else. I would probably say I know some very, very godly people in our church, and I know without question that I am far greater a sinner than they are. But it's not going to be whether I'm a sinner or not that gets me to heaven. It's going to be because I remember the day that I humbled myself before God and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you remember where you were when you got saved? Do you remember some other things? Do you remember where you're headed? We should remember where we're headed. In Psalm 23, I'm not going to have you turn there. You know the 23rd Psalm. It says, in verse number 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." You see, we think about 9/11. After the tragic events of 9/11, we as a collective country, we turned our heads toward God. But we didn't turn our hearts toward God. We watched as our congressman stood on the state capitol and sang, "God bless America." And we had a national day of prayer. And churches were filled to capacity the next Sunday. But then, as a nation, we forgot Him. We got through it. A man just died Wednesday evening. We've been praying for him as a church. Wesley Alford passed away Wednesday evening, just shortly after we dismissed and everyone was gone from church. You think about that step that you're going to take into eternity. as a nation, we looked to God for the healing. Before Mr. Alford, before he went home to be with the Lord, I was privileged a year and a half ago to lead him to Christ. As it was getting closer, he said to his wife, Teresa, "We'll get through this. We'll get through this." She told me that as he was just within days of passing away. She said, "Pastor Sears, he keeps saying, 'We'll get through this.'" I said, "Teresa, he's right. We'll get through this. When he passes away, he's born again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You see, when we're walking through it, that means there's hope on the other end. But what I fear is, as a nation, we got through 9/11 and then we turned our back to God. And as a nation, we have allowed ourselves to go contrary to His Word, contrary to the truth of Scripture, to what as a nation we were founded upon, the whole reason that God has blessed America in the first place. Do you remember where you were headed? And let me ask you, as a born-again believer, where is your life headed? Where are you headed? Do you remember the direction that at one point in your life, God really had a hold of your heart? Are you still headed that direction? Remember why you fight. Remember that. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11 and 12 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." You see, it's possible that today we have lost sight of why we're fighting. Oh, many conspiracy theories abound. It's a war for oil. It was a planned attack on humanity. A decision to erode the world's economy. None of which I will address here. This is not the platform. But we are in a very real war. Our servicemen and women fight in a very real war. We're fighting for freedom. But why should I fight in my Christian life? Why should I fight? Do you remember why? You see, oftentimes we find people who are fighting against the world, but the world is never going to be righteous. I can't expect the world to be righteous. I can expect God's people to be righteous. That's what I can expect. The world does not have the Holy Spirit that indwells them. If you've ever been told we're all God's children, that's a lie. Because Jesus Himself looked at those who were not saved and said, "Ye are of your father the devil." We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. But I become a child of God the day that I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. God is not the Father of every human being. God is only the Heavenly Father of those who have humbled themselves and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They then are called a son of God. And not until that day. Who are we fighting? We're fighting the God of this world. The God of this world. Not the God of creation. We're fighting Satan. We're fighting the devil. That is our enemy. That's who we fight. I said number three was remember why you fight. Number four, remember who you fight. In Ephesians 6 it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Although America is fighting against terrorism, we as Christians, we face an even more formidable foe. You think that ISIS, or ISIL, or whatever you want to call it, you think they are devious? You think they are ruthless? You think the beheadings? You think the suicide bombs? You think that's unbelievable? You have never thought of everything that Satan will think of for your life. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah wrote. We don't even have an understanding of how depraved humanity could get. We don't have an understanding of how depraved Satan is. You see, the last suicide bomber, he or she only had a certain number of years. Maybe they convinced a young man to strap a vest on and walk into an area and blow himself up. And he only had 16 years. It might have been a 30-some-year-old man, and that was all of the years that he had. Understand this. Satan has had the last 6,000 years to figure out what will make humanity fall. Well, you could imagine that he could come up with some unbelievable devious attacks in 6,000 years. Oh, let's remember who we fight. We fight against Satan. Will you remember? I thank the Lord for those who are here that fight for our freedom and that serve our city and our country. Thank you. I say to those who serve the Lord, thank you. But I ask you this morning, where will you spend eternity? All of the rest of the message means nothing to any of us if we don't know where we're going to spend eternity. And that Bible tells us how we can know. In just a few moments, the piano is going to play. We're going to have our heads bowed. Not yet. We're going to have our heads bowed. I'm going to give what's called an invitation. I invite every one of you. If you say, I've never heard why Jesus died. I didn't know. I'd never thought about the fact that if I could be good enough to go to heaven, that Jesus would never had to have died. I never heard that. This morning, if you would like to know how to receive Christ as your Savior, during the invitation, I invite you to come forward. We've got some rooms off to the side. We'll take someone, if you'll allow them, and they'll show you from a Bible how you can be born again. It doesn't just happen because you were a good boy or a good girl. It happens because you humble yourself before God and you accept the gift that He has paid for through His Son, Jesus Christ. Will you make September 11th, 2016, the day that you remember, the day that you received Christ as your Savior? You say, oh, I'm embarrassed. I would be embarrassed. Can I tell you this? The overwhelming majority of the people in this church have already made that decision. I've talked to them personally. I've asked them personally, when did you ask Jesus into your heart? When did you get saved? And they've given me the date. They've told me about their salvation. They will be thrilled if you say, I don't know, but I want to know. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven. It's not a guessing game. Thousands and thousands of people have told me personally, I hope I'm going to heaven. It's not a guessing game. It's only through Jesus Christ. Let's remember what He's done. Bow your heads if you would, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank You for the day. And Lord, I thank You that we could honor our country and our servicemen and women. Lord, those who give of themselves for our cities and for our nation. But Lord, thank You for what Jesus Christ did for our world. Lord, thank You for what He did for every human that has ever walked on this earth. Thank You, Lord, for that. Lord, He gave His life that I might go to heaven. And if there is even one here this morning that has no idea where they would spend eternity, if they would have to look me in the eyes and say, Pastor Sears, I don't know. Lord, I pray right now that they would make the decision. I am not leaving until I have someone tell me how I can trust Christ as my Savior. Lord, please, even if there's only one, would they make that decision? Your heads are bowed. Let me speak to you. Your eyes are closed. No one is looking around. That question, you can't get it out of your mind, perhaps. Where will I spend eternity? Could I ask you this? Please listen to the question. Please, before you raise your hand, listen. If you say, Pastor Sears, I know I'm saved. I remember the day. I know it. I can remember it just as clear as I can remember 9/11. Would you slip your hand up? Pastor, that's me. I know I'm saved. I know it. I'm not asking to embarrass anyone, but you say, Preacher, I know it. Well, I see that being put your hands down. There were some that didn't raise your hand, and I don't know why. But can I ask you this question? No one's looking around still. Can I ask you, would you like to know? Maybe you didn't raise your hand because you say, I have no idea. I don't know. But God didn't give us a Bible so that we could say, I hope. God's plan is for me to know and for you to know. This morning, maybe you would slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I've never prayed and received Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I would like to do that today. I'll let someone take a Bible, take me to a side room and show me. Would you slip your hand up? Oh, would you in this auditorium? We've got guests of all kinds, of all different places, of all different backgrounds this morning. Please don't let pride be the reason that God would have to look at you one day and say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, would you say right now, that's me, Preacher, that's me. I don't have any idea, but I would be willing to take someone and have them show me how I could be saved. Is there one? I'll hold it for just a moment longer. Oh, your heart's pounding because you believe you should be the one. Is it you? Would you slip your hand up? This whole church will say praise the Lord and hallelujah for your decision. Lord, you've seen our hearts this morning. Oh, Lord, they're heavy right now. Dear God, they're thinking about what has happened in our country. But Lord, if we lose our soul, gain the country, but lose our soul, Lord, we've lost everything. Dear God, I pray that we would think about that, Lord, and that we would not let it die in our memory. We thank you for what Jesus has done, and I thank you for salvation. Help us, Lord, to always remember those who will fight for us and what Jesus has done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you would stand to your feet. The piano will begin playing. I did not ask for a show of hands for other things, but perhaps the Lord spoke into your heart. Oh, I invite you to this altar this morning. Would you come down? Would you say, the Lord spoke to me? Oh, I want to make sure that I'm fighting for God as He's asked me. I'm giving to God what He's asked of me. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but your heart is even still pounding, saying, I need to know. I need to know. It's not too late. It's not too late. There's someone that will show you how you can be born again. We're not going to heaven because we're United States American citizens. We're not going to heaven because we go to church quite often. The only way we're going to heaven is if we receive Christ as our Savior. I'll ask you to play one more verse if no one else comes. I'll close the invitation. But I ask you one last time, would you come? Oh, would you come? She'll play.